Each month on the Restoration of Home podcast, we're featuring a different rule of life, from hospitality to simplicity to order and stability. We're helping you create more peaceful homes and connected families through focusing on these rules of life. If you would love to learn more and apply them in your family, go to our book page, habitsforasacredhome.com, and you can order our book, Habits for a Sacred Home, that goes through 9 practices from history that can anchor and restore modern families. Included are recipes and study questions, and even a link to create your own family rule of life. We even have some awesome pre-order bonuses, another kind of a book list that you can just take to the library with you, a student planner, some wonderful bonuses that can help you create a more connected family and restored community. Grab your copy of Habits for a Sacred Home in the link in profile. This is Jennifer Pepito with the Restoration Home Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the peaceful path to connected families and restored communities. Today on the show, I'm excited to be chatting with Emily Pepito about prayer. Prayer is one of the values of the Benedictines. It's part of the rule of life. And it's one of the chapters in my new book, Habits for a Sacred Home, as well as the topic of this month's conversation in the Restoration Home community. I'm excited to chat with Emily today about prayer. As believers, it's obviously such an important part of our lives. And I'm excited to talk about some different forms of prayer, and just our ongoing conversation with God. Thanks for joining me, Emily.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a minute since we podcasted together, and I'm just so excited to be back on here talking to you.
Yes, we just got back from a 2-week mission trip to Argentina. And right off the bat, I just want to share a little kind of a testimony. We were at a meeting on the first night we got there. It was a Friday night, and there was a service. And in the service, someone kind of said, you know, I feel like there's somebody here who's struggling with depression, maybe even thoughts of suicide. And a couple of girls stood up when this woman kind of, you know, made that announcement. So it was somebody that was on the mission with us. So these two girls stood up and they were crying. And so we took them into like a back room, and I just prayed with them through forgiveness to their dads. And obviously that's such a deep, deep subject, and not something that you can make a big, huge difference in one single moment. You know, like I treaded very cautiously with working through prayer towards parents, because often the wounds that our parents have left, no matter how hard they tried, like everybody tries so hard. I mean, you know that your dad and I were so intentional, and yet we still caused pain and have had to ask for forgiveness, but also on your own, you've extended forgiveness to us in prayer sessions with other people. And so, you know, and I feel like when you want to forgive someone, you have to really start with grieving so you can identify what's going on. But we did, you know, I did do just a short prayer of forgiveness with these girls, because often depression, anger, bitterness, even deviant behaviors start with unforgiveness. They start with getting hurt by somebody and then holding on to the wound instead of kind of cutting it off, in a sense. So we prayed for forgiveness with these girls. And 2 nights later, they were back at another meeting at a different church, like a church that was like an hour away. This is Argentina, Buenos Aires. And so 2 nights later, there was a youth night at a church a couple hours away. And these girls were there again. And it was incredible, because you could actually see the transformation in them. Like the one girl, the first night she'd come wearing all black and a lot of piercings and just looking kind of sad. And then here she was 2 nights later, looking so fresh and innocent and light. And the other girl said that she, you know, in the 2 days since we'd prayed for forgiveness with her, she'd felt so much lighter and happier. And they brought another friend of theirs with them. And so all that to say, prayer is one of our core values at the Peaceful Press, at the Restoration Home community. And prayer changes things. Like it's a sort of a kind of an idiom, you know, a Christian idiom, prayer changes things. But prayer does change things. And especially sometimes form prayers like forgiveness or even the daily prayer, like John Eldridge has a daily prayer that is almost based on the prayer of St. Patrick, which was a prayer of just spiritual protection, release and forgiveness, and giving your day, like consecrating your day to God. Tell us a little bit about your journey with prayer, Emily.
I grew up praying. That was a huge part of our homeschool young child life of praying. And I remember when I was 10 and a half, 11, and we were getting ready to move to Mexico. And I was just devastated by the move. I really didn't want to move. There was a lot of loss and grieving. And I remember there's one sort of area in the woods that I would go down to. And I was weeping over some of the loss and some of the change. And I remember running down there and I was like, I had been saved probably at 10 or 9, can't remember exactly when, been baptized. But it wasn't like I had this real vibrant relationship with God in the sense that I was always hearing from or talking to him. But I remember this so vividly because I ran down there weeping and I was crying out to him in a very real way, but probably without a lot of sense of like, I'm going to get an answer. I was just grieving. And that was like the first time where I had this experience of prayer, as in a crying out to God, a very sort of psalm-like experience. And then often when David's crying out, he then says, okay, he acknowledges then the presence of God that comes in response to his prayer. And in that moment in this little grove of trees, I felt the presence of God so strongly. And I felt so clearly just a sense of him comforting me and him telling me that he was going to be present in this transition, present in the rest of my life. And it was so sweet and it was so vivid. And I think that was definitely the start of my prayer life. And all through Mexico, there was so many hard times. And I know that we grew up praying. I don't remember when in my prayer journey, I was like, oh, this is a process by which I speak to God and God speaks back to me. Because so often in that time in Mexico, without really having a lot of like pre-established guidelines for prayer, there was such a grace of God to show up in response to my prayers. And I'd be crying out for whether it was a family thing going on or whether it was a personal thing. There was like this season in my life where I was 13, I think, and I constantly was thinking bad words in my head. And I think now that I've talked to more people, I think it's a very common like 13-year-old thing sometimes, or just there's this age where you have these thoughts and they're very intrusive thoughts. And I had been such a pure child in so many ways. And I remember like when I was 11, I'd like said a lie. And I remember God, like I was like, I was having nightmares about this. And I was like, God is not going to relent. Or I think I was 10 turning 11. I was like, God is not going to relent. And I don't want to turn 11 with these lies on my conscience. And so I like went and fessed up to my parents about them. But it was just kind of the same thing where I was dealing with these really intrusive thoughts. And I was just crying out to God. I remember washing dishes. And we'd had a group down and I had been dealing with all these things. And it was to the point where I was crying into my pillow almost every night, like screaming into my pillow as soon as my siblings, like I'd stay awake, my siblings would fall asleep and I would just be crying into my pillow and just crying out to God and talking to him about what I was fearing and feeling. And I remember like being down in the kitchen then in kind of the season of my life and washing dishes and like looking out the window. And I just felt again this like presence of God in response to my crying out and response to my prayers and him just affirming his love for me and affirming that like I couldn't have intrusive thoughts that would take me out of his presence. I couldn't, like, just this really beautiful thing. And I think that really started me on this trajectory of prayer, where my concept of prayer is so embedded in I speak to God and God speaks back to me. And it has been really enriched by learning form prayers. I just finished John Eldridge's 30 Days to Resilience for the second time in a row and learning to kind of pray these prayers of meditation and pray these prayers of forgiveness and pray these prayers that are none of that. It's just a free for all of my thoughts and my emotions. And it has been, I look at my life and I look at what God's done, and it's just, I am so incredibly thankful for this process of prayer. And this process of, like, one of the biggest ones is the prayer of forgiveness, because that has been huge, huge. And it, to shift my heart attitude, to make, like, kind of like walls crumble. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, if anybody, I'm sure most of you have, dealt with sort of longstanding bitterness towards somebody, or pain, or just, or anguish, or what, or frustration, or whatever it is. And when I've worked with God through these things in, like, the prayer of forgiveness, the way it shifts my heart is so profound, because it defies natural expectations of heart healing.
Yeah. I love that so much, Emily. It's so wonderful to hear your stories. And I think moms listening are going to be so encouraged too, because for us as mothers, it feels sometimes like such a heavy burden. Like, we have to be perfect and we have to make sure we meet all these needs, but obviously we can't. So I love hearing how God was meeting your needs in the midst of a chaotic time in our family. And the person that we feature in Habits for a Sacred Home in the chapter on prayer is Amy Carmichael, because she was a missionary in India and she was rescuing child sex slaves. And so she was in just such a desperate situation and understood the power of prayer. And I think sometimes as mothers, we don't even recognize how desperate the situation is. Like, we have the care of souls. We aren't equipped for it without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need help from God. And Amy Carmichael wrote, and I think it applies to us as mothers, to anyone listening, the fight to which we've been called is not an easy fight. We are touching the very center of the devil's power and kingdom, and he hates us intensely and fights hard against us. We have no chance of winning in this fight unless we are disciplined soldiers, utterly out and out, uncompromising, and men and women of prayer. So first, give much time to quietness. We have to get our help, for the most part, direct from our God. We are here to help, not to be help, and we must each one of us learn to walk with God and feed on his word so as to be nourished. Don't only read and pray, listen, and don't evade the slightest whisper of guidance that comes. God make you sensitive and very obedient. And I love this emphasis on our desperation for God, like what we are called to in this world as believers and as women of God, as mothers, is a heavy thing. It's a big responsibility, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to have people around us make mistakes, and it's going to be painful. And so if we have been linked into God so tight that we can hear from him, we can follow him. And I think that for those of you, a lot of you probably are afraid to listen to God. You're like, I've seen leaders misuse the word of God. I've seen leaders act like they were hearing from God and then do terrible things. And so it can be really hard to trust that you are hearing from God. But I think that's the key here, is that sometimes when we just rely on other people to hear from God and tell us what is true, that puts us in much greater room, or in a greater place of possibly being deceived, than when we practice hearing from God ourselves. And really, the hearing from God starts with just knowing his word. Like, if we make a habit of reading scripture, reading out loud, memorizing scripture, then we're going to know what's true. And I remember in Mexico, during that time, there were so many hardships we faced. You know, you had a routine tonsillectomy and ended up bleeding out of your throat several times when we were decently far from the hospitals, had no cell phones to call for emergency help. You know, my baby had a seizure. Your younger sister had a seizure. Like, we had intensely difficult times in that 4-year period. And we had to be able to cry out to the Lord and know his word. And there was a season where I was like, I think God hates me. And I read, it was Nancy Lee DeMoss. She has a different last name now. Her book, Lies Women Believe, and just went through some of these lies. Like, no, God does not hate you, because the Bible says he's loved you with an everlasting love. And I just started, you know, memorizing the truth of scripture. And that made it easy then to identify the voice of God, because God is not condemning us. If you look at the Psalms, David is pouring out his heart to God. He's pouring out his hardships to God, even complaining. And yet God says his mercy is everlasting. God is a refuge and help, an ever-present help in trouble. He'll lead us by still waters. You know, there's so many beautiful promises in scripture that can uphold us when we're praying through a difficult time.
Totally. And Mexico was insane. And I think that definitely was like the crucible for our family's prayer life in so many ways. Because I also remember just praying. I remember one time Dad had to bring a fridge across. And I think it was one of those things where it could cost us hundreds of dollars in taxes or something. And I remember you just being like, all right, we're going to pray for mercy. And I think it just started raining and he crossed the border and wasn't even stopped. And so we had not just like, I had not only my personal experiences of God showing up in these deep grief moments, but I also had this vision of prayer where God was just immediately answering prayers and immediately performing miracles. And back to the whole thing on being so uncertain about hearing from God. And I had one friend, and I would lead her through some form of prayer in terms of like if it was forgiveness or kind of nailing lies to the cross. Is one where it's where you take a lie, like the lie that your husband doesn't love you, or the lie that you are always going to mess up your kids' lives, or whatever the lie is, and you nail it to the cross of Jesus. You nail it. You put it under the blood of Jesus, and then you ask him to take it far away from you, and you ask him to tell you the truth about the situation. And so I would do some of this with her, and she would get so distraught because she would say, I don't hear from God. I don't hear. And so there's that where you just don't hear. And then there's also it's a very religious fear of getting it wrong. And it's this fear that we're going to mess it up. And I think especially for those of us who were raised in hyper-religious settings or who were raised around people who were hyper-emotional and really woo-woo, where they, you know, were always kind of going off their emotions or in really destructive ways, just even parents going off emotions, we have tended to buy into a shutting down of anything that we can't sort of prove in real life. And those two sides of the coin, so the people who just can't hear and the people who are actively afraid or shutting it down because of hyper-religiosity or hyper-emotionality on the parts of parents or peers or whatever, those are things, and not to be super harsh, but those are probably areas in your life where there is fear that is shutting down your ability to connect with God. And I love relationship and dating advice. So I've been following this man, Stefan Speaks, and he's great. And he's a Christian, but he also has a really big sort of contemporary and secular influence. And all the time, he'll just stop mid-video that he's making on YouTube. And he's like, I have to say this because I just feel like God's saying to my spirit right now that I need to say this thing. And he just says it. He just does it. But all the time he's speaking to women, and he'll say something like, you might believe that there's no good men out there, but that's because you have an area in your heart that needs healed and you're not attracting good guys. So he's super blunt. So just modeling off of Stefan Speaks here, if there is an area or if prayer is something where you feel frozen or you feel fear or anger or even sort of animosity towards this idea that you personally can have a two-way conversation with God, there is probably something there that needs some restoration, because it is so clear in the Bible. It is so clear that God speaks to us. And that is not a speaking to us for just David. That was not a speaking to us for just the disciples. It is something that he has given us as believers to connect with him, to be in a relationship with him now, today, for every single one of us.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, it says in scripture that my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But I do think bitterness and unforgiveness is one of those things that shut us down from seeing and hearing from God, also just from experiencing him. Like in, you know, in the places where that you mentioned, you know, someone's afraid because their parent was really emotional and was like, oh, the lettuce water came on in the grocery store. And so God's speaking to me, like, you know, who kind of overly maybe, you know, just felt a little bit like they weren't very grounded. And then the people who were just very condemning and fear-based about like, oh, if you should never presume that you're hearing from God because you're probably a heretic if you are. Like in those cases, I think in both sides of that coin, there's probably a little chip, a little kind of a burr of bitterness in some sense because God is misrepresented. And the truth is, humans are going to let us down. Humans are always going to let us down. And if we haven't been let down by humans, we probably haven't been in very close community because humans are broken and frail and are going to let us down. But I think it's worth pressing in for more because as mothers, like for those of you homeschooling, I mean, we just about can't even homeschool without hearing from God because there are so many choices in every decision we make.
100%. And I obviously there's room for error in all of this, but it's so much more restful to go into a situation and to spend a little time in prayer and be like, okay, I feel peace. I feel like God is on doing this curriculum. And I feel like God is on not doing this extracurricular activity, but I feel like, you know, I have peace about doing this. And I was listening to one of my favorite speakers, Esther Perel, and she says that one of her main jobs as a therapist is to help people tell themselves a better story because our stories more than anything else define our reality. And so I'm not saying that me believing the voice of God speaking to me is just a story, but when I was in London staying with my aunt and uncle, they had this very, very active prayer life. And so we would be driving somewhere and we would be a few minutes late and my aunt would be like, all right, Jesus, I need to get here on time. Will you please turn the lights green? And she has a condition that makes it walking challenging. And so she would, in London, in downtown, you know, in city center of London or in really busy areas like the Kensington area where parking is so hard to come by, she would say, Jesus, I need parking. And so we would drive around and she'd be like, all right, Jesus, I need a spot up front. We would drive around again and there's a spot right up front. And the lights would turn green. And it's this thing too, where it's like my prayer life and my belief in God speaking to me, as long as I'm grounding it in the Word of God, as long as I have a really active submission to the Bible and to the Word of God, how much better is it to live in this narrative that I have a loving Father who is actively speaking to me and moving on my behalf? And how much sweeter to approach my school year being like, I have peace that this is the curriculum that I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm not going to sit here second guessing it the whole year because I actually feel like God said yes on it. Or I feel like God said yes on it. So he's going to open doors. And prayer, my active prayer is not always going to be correct. Like what I hear from God isn't always going to be right or what I think I'm hearing or you know, even how I'm praying, like I might get convicted down the road and be like, oh, I need to adjust here or there. But I believe one, that the security and even the well-being that we have when we're in relationship with a loving Father who we believe has our best interests at heart and who's speaking to us is so healing, especially as women. And two, it's a better world to live in. Like it's just a more beautiful world to model for our children. It's a more peaceful world to sort of inhabit when we believe that God is moving and speaking to us and on our behalf.
Yeah, I love that so much. And if you are interested in cultivating more of a prayer life with your children, I sent out a newsletter recently with some of Michelle Garrell's advice, and I'll put that in a blog post. We'll link it in the show notes. She had beautiful advice for helping your children even connect with God in a deeper way. I think we live in a world that is so chaotic and there's so many choices. And so cultivating a love for the Word of God and the ability to press in for more of God and more of an experience with Him is going to be so foundational to helping your children continue to walk with the Lord, even as maybe peers fall away or the world says it's a weird thing to do. I think having this intimate relationship with God is a big part of what safeguards our faith, especially as our children grow into adulthood. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom today, Emily. I know families are going to be encouraged as they listen. I hope you'll pre-order Habits for a Sacred Home. In the show notes, we'll link the page where you can pre-order. And we have some really beautiful bonuses for you. One of them is actually a poetry pack. And each month, as we're going through the Restoration Home community, we're featuring a different poem or prayer. So the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Deuteronomy 6, Psalm 100, some of these beautiful foundational psalms and prayers, and even just some beautiful poems are included in there that can help your family. You know, in a busy season in our lives, we will at least pray the Lord's Prayer together as a family, or at least recite the Apostles' Creed, just so that we can continue building that unity of the Spirit and those beautiful habits that create a sacred home.